Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the New Testament book of 1 Corinthians, the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter number 14. We appreciate everyone's being here with all sickness going on and everyone surviving, but I'm glad that you're here and we're looking forward to try to be a blessing and encouragement to you. If you could give me one more second, the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter number 14. The book of 1 Corinthians in chapter number 14. We've been walking through this book of 1 Corinthians and watching as the Apostle Paul has been dealing with this church over and over. He has been pointing out their misbehavior, their pride, them being puffed up. And now he is getting to the heart of the matter. Out of all the things that they've been messing up, the spiritual gifts are one of the things that they've been messing up the worst, and they've been turning it to an idea of showing how great they are rather than using these gifts to help others. We now find our way to the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter number 14. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and notice with me if you don't mind in verse number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 in verse 1, the Bible says this, "Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto the men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. But I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation, or by knowledge, or by prophesying, or by doctrine? And even things without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet shall give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Wherefore, let him that speaketh to an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with understanding also. Else, when thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say, Amen? at the giving of thanks, seeing that he understandeth not what thou sayest. For thou givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than ye all. Yet in the church I'd rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words and an unknown tongue. Brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be ye men. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, mark a phrase that we find in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 14. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and notice with me in verse number 12, the phrase, excel to the edifying of the church. Excel to the edifying of the church. And with the Lord's help, we want to hit this passage as the Apostle Paul begins to give more instructions on the use of spiritual gifts, specifically tongues, and giving us the instructions that we are to excel to the edifying of the church. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come up to you, we're just asking that you would give us the spiritual maturity that's needed to understand this message, to apply it correctly, to be able to use it, and realize that you have given us gifts, not for the purpose of edifying ourselves, but for the purpose of edifying the church, building up others. Lord, help us to understand this distinction, and that we would be able to apply these things that you've given to us properly. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Good. As the Apostle Paul is dealing with this subject here, he begins to speak about tongues and begins to try to give a differentiation about how important it is with the idea of understanding. With that, let's see as we tackle this passage, and the first thing we want to see is the idea of preaching versus tongues. Preaching versus tongues. Notice in verse number 1, he says, follow after charity. Remember, this is a continuation of chapter number 13. It goes on. Remember, he was speaking about that charity carries the idea that we have a maturity about us, that we're not looking out for ourselves, but we're looking out for others. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but that rather that ye may prophesy. Paul now goes on and gives a comparison between preaching and tongues. In this case, when you see prophesy, it carries the idea of forthtelling. Forthtelling. You said, what is forthtelling? Forthtelling is just declaring what the Bible says. So what I do on a Sunday by Sunday basis, whenever we open up the Bible, that's what I'm doing is I'm prophesying in the biblical sense. I am forthtelling. I'm opening the Bible, explaining the text, and applying the text. That's the idea of forthtelling. And so the Apostle Paul comes up and says, listen, I'd rather everyone just open up the Bible and just say what the Bible says. That's the best thing whatsoever. Verse number 2. For he that speaketh an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Howbeit, in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. So let's just give an example. Let's just say that we had someone here that was not from here, didn't understand English well. And so when he came, he began to pray. And as he prayed in his language. Maybe it was Italian. Maybe we had someone visiting from Italia. Maybe we had someone from Mexico. Maybe we had someone from Japan. We had someone from a different country. And so we may say, can you pray? Well, he may pray, and he speaks in his native language, and whereas it may sound good, it doesn't help us out. Amen. He was just speaking to God in that case. We weren't able to listen in and agree with his prayer, to join with him in prayer. He was by himself, and we were just saying, well, hopefully he's saying something good. Notice in verse 3, but as an opposite of that, he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. The preferred path here is the idea of preaching. the highest gift anyone can desire is the ability to speak messages from the Lord, of the Lord, to someone else. That if a person speaks in tongue, it doesn't do them any good. However, me speaking a common language to you, using the Word of God, I can edify you. The word edify means to build up. That using the Word of God, I can build you up, encourage you up in the Lord. With the idea of preaching in a language that you understand, I can give you exhortation. This carries the idea of encouragement. I can encourage you using these words. I could charge you up. I could say, this is what the Lord has. Let's go. The greatest days are still ahead. And we can get encouraged by it. By using the same language, using the Word of God, I can give you comfort. Just the other day, I did a funeral for a family who doesn't have a church home. They asked me to come and preach and try to give a comfort to the family. Now, can you imagine they didn't come to a church? They don't have a church home of their own. I get there and I decide, you know what? This is a great time. I've been studying Russian. So, you know, what's going to happen is I'm going to do the whole service in Russian. And I know that their loved one is in the casket. Everyone can see. And, you know, but I want to go ahead and show off all my Russian languages. So I do the whole service in Russian. Would that be able to give them great comfort during that time of need? Not at all. They may say, this is interesting. They could have said, we'll never forget this funeral. We'll never forget what happened here, but will it comfort them in the time that they need it comforting? Of course not. They needed to hear the Word of God in a language that they understood. That's the idea of the advantage of preaching, of proclaiming the Word of God in a language you know, rather than having some super spiritual gift that I can speak in a language you can't. Let me show off how spiritual I am. Zeb, I left a water bottle back there. Can you grab it for me? Good. Notice, if you don't mind, as it goes on. In verse number 4, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. But he that prophesieth edifieth the church. So here we have two people. You have one person who speaks a language that no one else knows. All he can do is build up himself. Paul says, I would rather you not just build up yourself, but build up the church, to build up the whole congregation. Let more people be helped by the language, rather than you just build up yourself. The idea is it's not about us, it's about others. Notice as it continues to go on. Verse number 5. I would ye that all ye all spake with tongues. So Paul's not saying, listen, don't do that at all. He says, I wish everyone had this ability. But rather that ye prophesied. He says, even though it's good that many people may have this ability in this church, it is better if everyone just proclaims God's word. Amen. That's the best thing. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh in tongues. Now, this is an important phrase to the Corinthian church. To the Corinthian church had put this idea of speaking in tongues that they were super spiritual than everyone else. And they were actually looking down at the preacher who would just preach God's word. Now, this is something dangerous that people are doing today, that they look down on anyone who doesn't speak in tongues, whereas the Bible says that greater is he that preaches God's word and gives people understanding and helps them. They're the better ones. They're the greater ones. Notice it says, then he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. Now he says, listen, if you have a missionary that comes in who doesn't speak English, but you have an interpreter that interprets for him, great, then the whole service can be edified. That's going to be a help. He can give a testimony. But there has to be an idea of understanding, which he now breaks into this idea. Notice in verse number 6. Now, brethren, if I came unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you except that I speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine? Notice this here. We know that truth can only be expressed in words. If you've never written that in your notes sometime, that's a good one to write. Truth can only be expressed in words. Truth can't be expressed in feelings. Truth can't be expressed in abstract ideas. Truth is only expressed in words. Using those words, people can be helped. Through the preaching of God's word and preaching of words that people understand, notice this. He says in verse 6, "Now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you except that I speak to you either by revelation?" This carries the idea that truth is unveiled. The word revelation literally means unveiling. So when I preach to you through the words that I preach to you, you can be helped if I pull back the curtain, unveil, and you have a better understanding of truth. Truth can be unveiled. Notice it goes on. It says, or by knowledge. This is truth that is understood. By the preaching, I can help you understand truth. I can give you knowledge. By preaching with words that you understand, that we can have by prophesying. This carries the idea that truth is unfolded. It is built upon. It's unfolded out so you could see the whole picture. That's what words can do and words that you can understand. And then notice it says, or by doctrine. This idea of doctrine, we could say that truth is underlined. That's what we're doing in these messages and the next couple days is this morning, tonight, and Wednesday night. We're trying to doctrine, highlight truth. We're trying to take a truth and saying the same thing and highlight it so we all have an understanding of it. Doctrine is the idea of truth is underlined. Notice as it goes on, we come to a second thing, not only the idea of preaching versus tongues, but we see the principle that God is putting a great emphasis on, that understanding is better. Understanding is better. Notice with me, if you don't mind, in verse number 7. Even the things without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? So let's imagine that we had an orchestra. I don't know if you've ever had the privilege of being in an orchestra. One time I got to be in high school and we had a 200-piece orchestra and it was amazing. And they worked hard at it. And so they worked hard to be in symphony with each other. That carries the idea that they were in harmony, that they were practiced, they were on beat. Now let's just imagine that before we played our piece, that everyone just blew their own instrument and just played it whatever they wanted. Not only would it be a racket, but you couldn't tell which sound is coming from which. It would just be a racket. That in order for it to be played properly, that they had to be distinct in their sound and that they had to play it in their timing and then their piece so it would go well. Let's just imagine that we have a beautiful piece that we practice. We've worked very hard on it. We've worked on the timing. We've worked on it. And then in the middle of the concert, someone decided to go in business for themselves and play their own thing in the middle of it. Wouldn't that kind of ruin the whole thing? Absolutely. It would drown out the other sounds and make them not distinct. It would make it where that one was just noise in the midst of everything else. You wouldn't have the symphony that you were looking for. Notice in verse number 8, "For if the trumpet gave an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to battle?" Now, throughout all of the ages, the military has used a horn of some sort, a trumpet, to go ahead and give the instructions. And that without using the words, hearing the distinct sound, that the soldiers would know what to do. In the U.S. military today, we had several pieces. In the morning, we have reveille, which is a very distinct sound, that you heard it and you immediately popped up. In fact, if you could forgive the personal illustration, when we were in basic training, they were working very hard on us recognizing these sounds and responding to it. And so they would wake up in the morning with reveille, and as soon as you heard the sound, you immediately try to pop up. Well, we knew that, and we had some free time, and we had someone who was a misspent youth and broke into our civilian luggage, and we happen to have web belts. I don't know if you know what a web belt is, but basically they link together. You put your canteen onto it. Well, they also link together. So we had a guy who was a pretty sound sleeper. And so we put web belts and we put all him around and tied him up. He's still sleeping good. Well, someone broke into the civilian luggage and got out in a Walkman. 90s, that's what we had back then. It's like pre-MP3 player. And so we put a Walkman over there, and someone happened to have a tape of military songs. I don't know what goofball decided to bring that there, but it had Reveille on it. So in the middle of the afternoon, we had a little bit of free time. The guy's sleeping. We tie him up. We put the earphones on there, and we push play on Reveille. And because he's well-trained, he's trying to get up and trying to move just because he's trained for that. And that's what military knows, that when you hear Reveille, you are to get up. You're ready to go. In the military, we have taps at night that lets us know to retreat, to go to bed. You have charge that lets us know to go. The military has always used the idea of a horn to go ahead and let us know whether we go forward, whether we retreat, whether we go back. They give the instructions. Well, here it gives the idea that if I blow a horn and for the military use, and nobody knows what I'm playing, they don't know whether to charge, retreat, stay, duck for cover, what in the world's going on. The unknown sound doesn't give instructions. What am I supposed to do? It leaves an I don't know. Well, the same thing with the idea of tongues. If I don't know what they're saying, it doesn't do me any good. The only time I'm helped is if I understand what is being communicated to me. Again, it's carrying the idea of the edification of others. Notice in verse number 9. So likewise, ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood. May I pause here? Some people say, preacher, you always put the cookies on the bottom shelf. Some people say, I like coming here because you make the messages easy to understand. Well, this is why. We all know preachers that could preach so high that they sound really smart, but I didn't get anything out of that message. We should always communicate in a way that's easy to understand, in a way that people could easily go. So if you know big words, don't use the big words unless you define them in a way that people understand. Communicate things easy to understand, and you help people along. Notice again, so likewise, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. Now again, let's just use English. Let's say that we have someone who's very smart speaking English. We've all had college professors or high school professors that at the end of the class were like, I have no clue what he just said. I thought it was English, but it didn't compute to me. Did that class do us any good whatsoever?
Nope.
Not at all. Because it wasn't understood. And so here we're talking about that even if it's the same language, if people don't understand what we're saying, it doesn't help them out. We need to use language that's easy to be understood. Why? Because it's not about how spiritual I am, and it's not about how smart I am. It's about how can I help someone else understand the truth. Notice, if you don't mind, as we continue to go on. Verse number 10. It may be so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them are without significance. Isn't that encouraging? Some of you may feel quiet, and the Bible says your voice has meaning. That even the quiet among you, if you use your words, you can still be a help to someone.
Amen.
You don't have to be loud and obnoxious like I am. Okay, only a couple smiles. That's all right. That makes me know. Even those of you who feel like you're quiet, you can use your words to help someone out. Isn't that encouraging? That as long as you're communicating truth in a way, you can help someone out. Your voice is important. Verse number 11. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and him that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Now, once again, we need to define our terms. In the Greek culture, A barbarian was someone who didn't understand the Greek language. So someone could be living in Alexandrian Egypt, and they could be a wealthy merchant, not someone in caveman clothes, not someone eating bones, but they could be someone who's a wealthy merchant, but if they don't understand Greek, to the Greek culture, they're considered a barbarian. There's someone who doesn't understand the language. Now, Paul works it around that if they don't understand my language, he's a barbarian to me, but I'm a barbarian to him. Again, carrying the idea it's someone who doesn't understand the Greek language, who doesn't understand a common language. And so you may be well-meaning, but if they don't understand what you're saying, it might as well be Greek to them. And if you don't understand what they're saying, it might as well be Greek to you. That in order for us to communicate truth, we have to have a basis of understanding with each other, that they can easily understand it in order to be helped. Notice again in verse number 12, even so ye, forasmuch as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Once again, he puts this idea that the whole purpose is for you to be a blessing to others. Again, this word edifying means to build them up. You're not trying to show how smart you are. You're trying to build yourself up. If you could forgive another personal illustration, one of the greatest things my pastor did for me when I believed that I had a call to preach is he put me in two ministries. He put me in a retirement home ministry and then put me in a Sunday school class between 8 to 12 year olds. With the idea that if I could learn how to communicate truth to senior saints, and some of them very senior in saintshood, and then to small children, if I could communicate to them and get them to understand the Bible, I could communicate the truth to anyone. That's the principle we have here, is that we're supposed to be able to communicate the truth to help everyone move forward, to encourage them all to move forward. That's why I like the young people in here paying attention, taking notes, reading their Bible, because I want you to understand what the Bible says. I want you to be able to communicate the truth. And if you learn how to communicate the truth in a way that young children can understand, adults should have no problems with it as well. The whole principle is that we need to edify others. How do we do that? By communicating in a way that they understand so we could build them up and help them. Communicating truth. Notice again in verse 13. Wherefore, let him that speaketh an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. So Paul is going to give rules a little bit later in the chapter, but he says right here, if you pray in an unknown tongue, you better have someone interpret, otherwise it doesn't do anyone any good. You need to be here to be a blessing to someone else. Notice, if you don't mind, one last thing. We have the principle of thinking of the church rather than thinking of ourselves. Thinking of the church rather than thinking of ourselves. Verse number 14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is fruitful. Now it goes more into the idea of a supernatural tongues, meaning an unknown tongue, a tongue that I don't know. So let's just say that for the idea that I am preaching and I'm working to try to reach someone in a different language group. And I pray in that language because God supernaturally gives me that. Well, I can pray in Spanish all I want, but I don't speak Spanish, so it doesn't do me any good. I'm hoping I'm saying something good, but it doesn't help me out. I don't have an understanding of it. Verse number 15, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit and I will pray with understanding also. Paul says, listen, if you're going to pray and talk to God, you're only going to get benefited from that prayer if you understand what you're saying. It now ties another principle. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Once again, why we stick with the old-fashioned hymns? We should understand what we're singing. And that's the way that we're going to be helped, is if we understand what we're singing. Verse number 16. Else, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say, Amen, at the giving of thanks, seeing that he understandeth not what he said? Notice that word amen. If you haven't highlighted it or marked it, mark that if you don't mind. The word amen means I agree. And so it is a good thing and biblical thing that when a preacher is preaching and he says something that you understand and that is a help to you, it is proper for you to say amen. That lets others know that you understand and that the preacher said something that was rememberable, something that was markable, something that they needed to pay attention to. So if they were sleeping, they go, oh, I missed something, and now they'll pay attention to the rest of it. But it lets people know that what the preacher said was understood. You agree with this. This is a biblical concept here. And this is helpful because if the whole crowd's not understanding, and the preacher, how is he going to determine whether people are understanding or not? I mean, people are still going to give him the same facial expressions. But if someone's saying amen, he says, well, at least someone's getting it. Someone's understanding. I'm not missing up there. Someone's got it. It helps out a lot for the preacher to make sure that he's hitting the target, hitting the mark, that there's understanding out there, that he's not preaching up to the ceiling and everybody's missing it. This is a helpful idea with the idea of a communication between a speaker and the listener. Amen. Amen. I heard. I agree. Good. So it's good practice to get into. Verse number 17. For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God that I could speak with tongues more than ye all. Now, Paul is starting to back up and says, listen, you want to talk about spiritual? I've had the opportunity to speak in tongues more than the rest of you. I've traveled all over. God's used me. I'm just not bragging about it. But if you want to brag, I've spoke more than you all. And I'm still going to tell you it's better for you to preach with understanding. Notice in verse 19, yet in the church, I'd rather speak five words with my understanding than by my voice I might teach others also than 10,000 words in an unknown language. Amen. Paul says, if I come to a church service and I have people that are waiting to be fed, I'd rather be able to understand what I'm teaching them and them understand what I'm saying than me go through a whole tirade where no one's understanding what I'm saying. And everybody's looking at me blankly and said, all right, preacher, that sounds good. He says, it's better. I says, I speak in tongues. I know this. I've done more opportunities than you guys. And it is still better. Yet, it is better for me to speak with understanding that everybody catches it. That way people are helped. Then notice, if you don't mind, this final admonishment that over and over you watch Paul kind of do this again. Verse number 20. Brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be ye men. You know what he's saying? Grow up. Grow up. That's what he said in the last chapter. He says, but when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Grow up. Grow up. Grow up. Stop making it all about you. Make it about helping others. Grow up. Be mature. Now again, this is the whole problem of the church of Corinth. It's all about them. They're selfish. They're full of pride. It's all about me. And it's not about helping someone else. Paul's saying, stop it. Grow up. Make it so your ministry, what God has given you to do, is to help someone else. Stop making it all about you. Grow up. Grow up. Well, what do you do with such a message? We know that in a church like ours, the idea of speaking in tongues is not the issue that we're having. We do have a principle that we tried to apply earlier, that we should always work on our speech to make sure that it's easy to understand, that we use words and language that people communicate with, that we don't use technical babble unless you define what technical babble you're speaking about, that we need to communicate truth in a way that even children can understand. If children don't understand what you're saying, you need to work on your speech. But the principle that we get here is the idea of grow up. Stop making it all about ourselves. What can you do to help someone else? Remember, God has placed you into a local church for a reason, and that's to help that local church move forward. You all have a voice. You say, well, my voice isn't loud, but the Bible says it's still significant. Use it wisely to help the church move forward. It may be your voice that helps someone get the encouragement they need to go one more day. It may be your voice that encourages someone to come back that they were thinking about not coming back. It may be your voice that encourages them to finally make a decision to move forward for the Lord, to make a decision for the Lord. Your voice is important. We need to use our words wisely. And it's not about you. Get over yourself. How can you use your ministry, your life, your energy, your talents, your gifts, your words to help this local church move forward, to help someone within this church move forward, to help them point them to the Lord so they could take another step? That's the principle that we're getting here, is are we using our talents and gifts wisely? Is it all about us? Are we selfishly just keeping them to ourselves? Or are we helping others move forward, following after him? Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.